In Akkad, there emerged a very powerful, a very ambitious, and a militarily gifted king. And his name was Sargon. Sargon ruled from 2371 to 2316 BC. He turned the Akkadians into a very effective fighting force, and then he began to move to the south. And later on, his son and successor actually moved eastwards towards what we would think of as Iran, and westwards actually towards, almost towards the Mediterranean Sea. Now, let me tell you a story about Sargon. Sargon's an interesting fellow. He was found floating in a reed basket in the river Tigris by serving maidens of the queen. He was brought into the palace and found to be a fine and healthy baby boy and was raised among the children of the servants in the palace. And eventually, of course, he was so intelligent and capable and gifted and brave and resourceful that he was brought in to serve among the king's assistants. And eventually, he became the king himself. Now, that may just remind you of someone else you've heard of. I have in mind Moses, of course, you see. Now, Moses never got to be Pharaoh in Egypt, but he rose pretty high in the Egyptian service. It's not surprising that riverine civilizations will tell two kinds of stories about rivers. Stories where the rivers bring you wonderful things, and stories where the rivers crush you in terrible floods. And so we have Sargon as a good thing that was brought to the Akkadians by their river. One of the most important things for us to say about Sargon is that when he conquered the Sumerians to the south, rather than destroying their culture, rather than putting the Sumerians to death, rather than sort of overrunning them and bringing sort of the forces of darkness and barbarism to them, he actually absorbed Sumerian culture in all sorts of important respects. Now, very much later, the Roman poet Horace would say that captive Greece took her captor captive. Well, the point is that that has happened many times historically, that people at a lower cultural level conquer people at a higher cultural level, and instead of destroying their culture, they absorb it. That's a first point with respect to Sargon. A second is that this is the first moment of the dissemination of Sumerian culture over a much larger imperial state. Now, some years after Sargon and the Akkadians began to weaken as their power began to decline, Sumer was overrun, and as indeed much of Mesopotamia was overrun again, by people whom we call the Old Babylonians. We meet these people in the Old Testament as the Amorites. Their most famous king was Hammurabi, the one who issues the great law code. And we'll have something to say about that law code in just a few minutes. But once again, when the Old Babylonians conquer the area of Mesopotamia, and indeed the area of Sumer, what they do is spread Sumerian culture. They don't destroy it. They don't sort of make it vanish. They spread it. As these slightly larger imperial states continued to grow, what began to happen is there was what we might call a Sumerianization of the culture of much of the Middle East. And this provided a kind of a common foundation, a common basis for cultural life in that part of the world. Now, we'll return to this part of the world in some later lectures from some other angles. For the moment, let's turn and ask ourselves a little bit about the culture of Sumer. The culture of these earliest of peoples. What were they like? What is their culture like? We might turn in the first place to their religion. What do we know about their religion? Well, we know, for example, that these people were polytheistic. All right? Quite simply, they worshipped many gods and goddesses. Polytheistic. We know also that they were syncretistic. Now, what that means, that's a fancy word that actually means something very simple. They were quite happy and willing to borrow things from their neighbors. If, for example, your neighbor conquered you, this might lead you to believe that your neighbor's gods were more powerful than your own. Now, you don't jettison your own and take on the new ones in their place. You add the new ones. You hedge your bets. If your neighbors have finer flocks than you do, if your neighbors have more abundant crops than you do, their fertility goddesses may be a little more efficient than yours. So you would borrow them. Again, you don't throw yours out. You add some new ones. Syncretism, then, a way of spreading certain kinds of religious practices, certain kinds of religious ideas, certain kinds of religious cults. Now, when we think about these gods, we can divide them up in certain fairly basic ways, according to the way the Sumerians themselves did. There were sky gods, gods who were thought to live on mountaintops, way up in the heavens someplace. These are generally thought of as male, and they are generally associated with war, sometimes with government, and sometimes with the more powerful forces of nature, thunder, lightning, the more terrifying forces of nature.